The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, we are on the floor of San Diego Comic-Con, and we are here with Sherilyn Kenyon, author of Death Doesn't Bargain and the forthcoming Stygian. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am awesome. Thank you for asking.
So this is like the first day, our first interview of San Diego Comic-Con. Like, this is our first time coming, like, just period as press, so we're super excited. So thank you for doing this with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for coming out.
So your pantheon of characters and work is voluminous, like, to say the absolute least. Like, I would actually call that like an understatement. I feel like I have two questions coming from that. First, what is kind of like your elevator pitch for your books? And second, how do you keep that all straight?
Oh, my God. I don't know where I put my car keys or anything else. I go through the house. I have what are called sherry droppings. I really can't keep track of anything but the characters. I don't know. You know, I come from a big family. So the characters and the universe is just kind of like an extension of my gigantic family.
Nice.
I guess that's why God did it. It was pre-prepping for being a writer. And what was the first part of that question?
What's your elevator pitch? Like, how, like, when you have, because it's such a big volume of work, like, how do you sell it in, like, a couple minutes?
Mad, bad, and immortal. You know, not your mom's vampires. They're a little bit different. You know, I don't ever, my dad was a drill sergeant, so it's kind of like toes the line. And I don't like to do what I'm told. I was God's defiance on my dad, you know, oppositional defiance disorder. So I never do anything like normal people.
So you have several different kind of like plot lines, and it seems like several different storylines going on across all of your books. Are there separate fandoms? Like, do you find that there's separate fandoms for like different characters or like plot lines, like when it comes to your writing?
There are some who prefer like the League of Science Fiction. Chronicles of Nick is urban. Well, that's the YA urban fantasy. Dark Hunters urban fantasy. So it depends. But really, no. Generally, my fans are across the board. So if they like one world, they'll like the other worlds too.
Nice.
But there are some who do have a preference. You know, I don't really like, you know, the high fantasy, like the Dead Man's Cross. They don't want to do the historical stuff, so they do one world or the other. But usually, they are across the board.
Nice. So when you're looking at producing like all these different worlds, like what kind of inspiration are you drawing from, like to create high fantasy versus like urban, like supernatural romance? Like how do you kind of like get to those different points when you're creating your novels?
I come from a very strange background. I had a grandfather who was a shaman. My grandmother was Catholic, and my other granddaddy was a Southern Baptist. So we had a lot of fun growing up. You know, when you have that kind of mixed background, you have a lot of interesting Sundays. And, you know, I was very blessed. My mother's best friend was a Gullah woman. So, you know, having that, just that kind of fun childhood, you know, it gave me a rich environment to draw from.
So it sounds like, you know, you have a father who is, you know, in the military. You have all these different religious backgrounds. You grew up in the South, like taking all of those inspirations to like create like these new and interesting worlds. Like what was your childhood like? Like, I'd be fascinated to know. Like, I feel, you know, I grew up obviously like in the 80s and stuff. So I was able to like roam free until the sun went down. But it sounds like you may have had even more like license to like wander the earth a little bit. Like,
I'm a child of the 80s too. So yeah, Fort Benning, you know, we had a great melting pot of different cultures, and it was being able to, that freedom to explore. And it was just fun because I'm innately curious. And, you know, I had a lot of friends who got to travel the world. And, you know, sadly, my dad being a drill sergeant, they didn't let him go. So, but I could talk to my friends about different things that they were from. And, you know, it was just very cool.
Being able to see the world like that, I assume that kind of helps inform like your literature quite a bit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you get to pull like, you know, from memories to like insert different little things into each set of books?
Or? Oh, yeah.
So you have a book that's coming out. So I was looking at the website yesterday. So I think it's like in 5 days, called Born of Blood. And then you have Stygian coming out in August. Mm-hmm. What can readers look forward to in these two novels? And how in the world do you produce so many books so quickly?
I've always written. So, you know, for me, that's how I relax. It's my brain's always churning different ideas and characters. And, you know, it's really weird because people, they're always asking, you know, well, aren't you going to take time off? No, I don't know how not to write. I've been doing it my whole life. So, you know, Born of Blood's about Jane, who's one of my older lead characters. I've had her since I was 7, 8 years old. You know, she's one of my very first characters. And the fans have been asking for a long time. So I'm really excited to finally be able to tell her tale. And with Stygian, Urien's been with me since high school. So he's another one that, you know, it was finally time to get his tale out and let everybody know.
So, you know, I read a lot and I listen to a lot of podcasts about Robert Howard. He's one of my favorite, mm-hmm. you know, weird fiction authors. I love Conan and all that. And he talks about how Bran McMorran was like one of his first characters that he ever wrote when, or thought up when he was like in grade school. Mm-hmm. What's it like to hold on to a character, to like think and conceive of a character like so early in your years, and then to hold on to it and let that story grow and grow and grow over time? Like, you know, how does that develop into like a novel over time?
Well, they change sometimes. Like Asheron originally was a villain. So, you know, when I sat down really to start doing the Dark Hunter novels, it took me a little bit to make him a good guy, because that trying to go around 360 and wrap your head around, I was so young when I did it. It was hard in the beginning, because he was really an awesome bad guy, and he was so mean. And so, but one of the things that I liked being able to do it, it's one of the reasons I think now that I'm able to switch around and take someone who's a really good villain like Julian and then make him such a great and awesome hero now. And I'm really grateful that I forced myself to do that early on, because now it really does. I think it added a depth to both the heroes and the villains, because they're more real, I think, and more like real people, because they're never 100% good or 100% bad. So they do become very, very real to me, and I think very, very real to the readers.
When you're walking around, like in your day-to-day life, do you find yourself thinking to you know, this is how this guy would react to this situation, or the person that you're writing that week? Does it pop into your head, you know, that lady that cut me off in line at the grocery store? You know, do you find yourself inhabiting them, like in your day-to-day life as a writer?
No, to me, they're more real than that. So it's not so much that, but I would think something like, I wish somebody were here because she'd eat your head. You know, it's like, where's my barbecue sauce? I need my demon. So it's not really, yeah. To me, it is more like, I'm going to stick to Simi on you later.
So because, like, unfortunately, the interview got set up kind of late, I wasn't able to, like, actually dig too deep into the book. And I felt a little lost, because it's definitely, like, in the middle of a storyline. So for somebody that's a neophyte in your writing like I am, what's a really good jumping off point for your books?
It depends on the series. I mean, you know, I try to write the book so nobody would get lost. But there are different starting points, like Dark Side of the Moon. I always start in the beginning. That's what I tell people. So, you know, if it's Dark Hunter, Night Pleasures is the first book. But Dark Side of the Moon was written. It's the first hardcover, so that's a good one. Or Stygian's great, because Stygian it starts with the bad guys. So it's, you know, you see a whole new side of the world. And we wrote it so that it really is like almost a brand new introduction.
And that Stygian comes out in August.
August, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check it out, because, like, I really enjoyed, like, your writing style. Like, I read a lot of fantasy, and I read a lot of, like, kind of weird fiction and horror and stuff like that. So this is, like,
fiction. This
is, like, right up my alley.
Oh, thank you.
When, you know, when you're approaching it, like, do you ever find yourself, like, do you think to yourself, I'm going to try to buck this trope? Like, there's so many, like, easy, like, fantasy and easy, like, kind of, you know, dark fiction tropes that you can fall into. Do you think to yourself, okay, I'm not going to do that with these guys? Or do you just kind of let it come out however it comes out?
I think because I'm ODD, because of my dad being the drill sergeant thing, I just can't fall in line. No matter, I just can't, you know. You will stand in line, and I have to know. And I remember one of my early memories was my dad, get your shoes on, Sherry, get your shoes on. And I just sat in the floor And he turned so red in the face. My mother actually thought he was going to have a stroke. And it's just innate in me. I cannot do what I'm told.
Sounds like a certain 7-year-old that lives in my house. Like,
right? Yes. Right. And my poor son's the same way. I'm like, this is God getting me back for my poor father. Oh, my gosh.
So is your father still?
No, sadly, he passed a long time
did
ago.
He ever get a chance to read your writing?
No. Or? Well, I mean, when I was little, he did. But,
right.
You know, he was like, what is this weirdness my child wants to do? I don't understand you, child. Get a real job.
That was going to kind of be my next question. Like, what would he think of, like, not just your writing, but of your success at it?
My dad, he would be proud, but he, you know, when I first told my dad that my dad did, I had a 900 majors when I was in school, and it was so funny. I took Old English as a class, and my dad was just like, what you want to take that for, honey? My dad was from Alabama. Needless to say, with that accent, and what in the world? Why, honey, just repeat after me. Y'all want fries with that? Yeah, so he didn't understand anything. He's like, why can't you be a business major like a normal person? So, yeah, he would totally not get it.
That's okay. My dad was not interested in my podcast until I told him I was interviewing Joe Namath this weekend.
See,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
right?
Now suddenly I'm
oh,
cool. Yeah.
Right, right.
He's got a million questions for that.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
you could care less about anything else. So, when people are looking for you, like, on social media or on the web, how do they find you?
CherilynKenyon.com or MyKenyon.com.
Okay. And, so you have a book, like I said, coming out in about 5 days called Born of Blood. And
well, that one actually got kicked back a little bit.
Oh, okay. There was a countdown clock. So.
Oh, we need to reset that.
So you
that.
Should definitely reset that. But that book is in which series?
The League. That's the science fiction.
Awesome. And then you have Stygian coming out in August, and that's in which series?
That is the Dark Hunters.
Awesome. Sorry. I was poring over your site, like, as we were taking this, like, 18-hour car trip. I'm like, I can't keep it all straight, and my notes are a mess, but I did my very best.
You're better than me, because we were focused on Comic-Con. We forgot to reset the clock.
Oh, there you go. It's okay. I won't tell anybody, except for the people that, yeah.
Oh, no. We're going to reset that tonight.
That's awesome. So thank you very much for your time. We really, really appreciate it. I actually really look forward to getting to your book because,
like I said,
I started reading it and then there was driving and sleeping.
Oh, hey, I totally get that.
So. But I really appreciate your time.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.